But tonight, we'll begin at verse number 1. And if you follow along, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men." Let's stop there and have prayer. Father, we are grateful again for the Scriptures. And Lord, we know that these lessons are so valuable to our life, and we want to apply them. Some of these lessons we've learned from a child, and yet, Lord, we still need your help in the area of obedience and submission. And we just pray for your Spirit to work in our heart, and Lord, correct us where we need correcting, and help us, strengthen us. Lord, give us understanding that we might be pleasing in your sight in all things. I pray that you would please help me tonight. I need your help greatly, Lord, to speak your word, and please use me tonight, I pray. And again, we love you. We thank you so much for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't want to review a whole lot, but you remember, I think it was just last Sunday, when we talked about that whole passage, that whole section, this whole section, really, that goes into chapter 6. It's interesting. Josh was asking me this morning, he said, how did they come up with where they break a verse, you know, because it wasn't written verse 1 so much, and then verse 2, you know, it was just written all as a letter, and at some point they broke it into chapters and verses. And I don't know all how and who and when all that happened. Of course, it's convenient for us tonight because I can say, turn to this chapter and this verse, and we can all be at the same spot, you know. Otherwise, it'd be hard to, you know, look down and find the exact paragraph and sentence that I'd want you to see. But the chapter verses and breaks aren't inspired, of course. And I think they're helpful. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that what we started in verse 18 of chapter 5 goes on down to the end of the chapter and into chapter 6. It just keeps flowing. And what that is where he talks about the fullness of the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then basically this is the outflow of being filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they're just naturally, because it's not natural to our carnal nature to be even, as we're going to talk about tonight, obedient. The reason why we have the reason why you have to teach children to be obedient is because it's not natural to us. We are naturally rebellious in our fallen nature. You don't have to teach a child to disobey; you have to teach them to obey, right? So. But when we're filled with the Spirit of God teaches us, the Holy Spirit enables us. He, as we yield unto Him, He will help us to be submissive. And this thought of submission is really one that carries all the way through. We read in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then, you know, wives submitting to their husbands loving their wife, and in loving them, they're submitting to the needs of their wife. You know, they're considerate, and you know, as Christ loved the church, and he said, even as you cherish your own body, you know, because you're one flesh, the way you would treat your own self, you're to love your wife in that way. And so there's a mutual submission in that. And then children are to obey, which is again a part of submission. And then we read just a little below that where he talks about servants being in submission to obedience to their masters. The masters according to the flesh, meaning people in this world that are over you. As far as, you know, we would say these are your employers, your boss, your those authorities that are over you in that sense. If you're in school, it would be your teacher. You know, they used to call them a schoolmaster and these sort of things. And, you know, we're to be in submission to them. And we submit to them in the fear of God. We submit to them, as he said here, not as men pleasers, not with eye service, not just on the surface, you know, trying to, be nice when they're watching, but act up when they're not looking. You know what I mean? I almost said that's what I did in school. It's not that I hate to admit that, but I don't like to, you know, the kids are like, oh, pastor did that. Oh, well, that's not an excuse, all right? It doesn't mean you can do it. but we all have that, you know. I remember, now, here's something you don't do in school anymore. I got a spanking by my second grade teacher, my grade two teacher, with a ping pong paddle. Because when she left the room, me and a couple other boys went to the back and we were goofing off. And I don't even remember what we did. I just know we were back there and she came in and caught us. And how I got caught was I got my fingers smashed in the closet door and I was bleeding. And you would think she would take pity on me. No, she spanked me because I was out of my seat and not doing what I was supposed to do. So we're to be submissive means we're to obey, not just when they're watching, not just with eye service, but always, even when they leave the room. So that nature of obedience, the Holy Spirit helps us to develop that in our lives. And we're to develop it early. And so even, it starts as a child. And this is, your parents will help you in this, to learn the lesson of obedience. And so really, that's where we start tonight. It's the lesson of obedience. It's the lesson of submission. It's the lesson it's important to learn. There's a promise with that lesson, with that command. We'll notice here in a minute. But first of all, we're to learn to obey. Now, there's many things that your parents want to teach you. There's many things as parents we want to teach our children, right? Many things. There's practical things. Things like, I don't know, making your bed and brushing your teeth and, you know, these sort of things. Getting up for school and getting ready. And there's just many things that are practical things of life. And then there's moral things, doing right and wrong and these type of things. And in all of those lessons, we're to learn to obey. Some of those things you obey and you say, oh, I don't really understand the reason for it. I mean, I don't see, why do I have to do that? Every child said that, haven't they? Even little Liam, it won't be so many years, he's going to say, why? You know, why? And how many of your parents said, because I said so, right? Come on, how many of your parents told you that, didn't they? And because, that's why, you know, we're to do it because they said so, because you're to obey what they tell you to do. And we don't always know why, but really, sometimes it's just a matter of learning to obey. I mean, it's not wrong to want to know why necessarily, but it's important that you just learn to obey. And I want you to think about that just for a few minutes here before we move on. Your parents want you to obey, and sometimes they, you know, you're not ready to know all the whys. And to be honest with you, have you ever felt like this? Sometimes my kids have asked me why, and I think about it, and I know there's a reason, even though I have a hard time explaining it. You know? And think about this, children. Your parents have lived a little longer than you, right? Yeah. And sometimes just they know it's right because their life experience has taught them that this is right. And sometimes it's just the right thing to do. Now, obviously, there's many things that there are biblical reasons. You know, you can they teach you this is right because God says so, and you know the Bible says to do this. But there's some things that we don't always understand why. But I was thinking about, you know, when we learn things in school, sometimes it doesn't make sense at first. You know, like algebra or whatever. Those things don't make sense to me still. But, you know, you just have to follow the formula. You do it this way because that's the way it works, right? And later on, maybe you learn a little more and then you can kind of understand, oh, I see now how this works or why this works. Sometimes you maybe don't understand it at all, but you just know that if you do it, it works out right. Are you with me? So I'm just saying, rather than always needing to know the why, it's just a matter of learning to obey. It's learning to just obey. Obey your parents. Now, what it says there, look at verse 1 again. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What does that mean? That means you're doing it in the Lord. You're doing it because it's what God. You're obeying God when you do that. Right? When you obey your parents, you're obeying the Lord. When you disobey your parents, then you're disobeying the Lord. And he says, this is right. He didn't say if they're right. You have to obey your parents, even if you don't know or maybe you think they're not right. Because it's right for you to obey your parents. Does that make sense? It's kind of like in a game, you know. I never played a lot of sports, but usually they have to have an umpire or a referee or whatever they call them. Those guys in the striped shirts that have flags and whistles and they, you know, they have rules. And the ref might say, that's a foul. You might not agree. But guess what? You have to obey the ref. Because he's the authority. Right? Sometimes I've watched some sports and they make a call and you go, I don't think that was a very good call. But regardless, he's the ref. And so you have to obey that. Well, when it comes to your position as a child, your parents make a call. Your parents say what's right. They set rules. And your job is to obey. So, obedience. And I'm telling you that because that's right. But I'm telling you that because it's important that we just simply learn to obey. Because it helps us out later on in life. You know, I was going to take you through, this morning my wife said I was long-winded, so I'm trying not to be long-winded tonight. Yeah. I know, I did ask. And she's the only one that tells me, you know, so none of you, the rest of you won't say, man, preacher, you were long this morning. So she has to say it, you know, so she says it for you, so you can thank her. But anyway, But go to John just for a moment. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I was just thinking about this whole thought about, you know, obeying and just trusting and obey. In John chapter 13 and verse number 4, you know the story where the Lord rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Peter, Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, now notice what Jesus says, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And you know the story. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Peter being Peter, he said, oh, well, then not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And what I just want to point out there is, you know, the Lord said sometimes to the disciples things, and they didn't understand why. And he said, you won't understand yet. One day you will. You know? And how many times parents have said that to kids? Like, you'll understand when you're older. You know, or I'll tell you when you're older. I'll explain it then. But right now, just trust me, okay? So the Lord deals with us that way. And we have to learn the, you know, it's, listen, boys and girls, this is a lesson for you, but it starts when you're children. But guess what? I'm not a child anymore, but I still have to learn to obey. You see, it's a lesson I have to learn when I'm young, because all through my life, it's important for me to learn obedience. Obedience to God. Obedience to authorities. I have authorities over me. You know, there's authorities in the world. There's, like I said, there's teachers and bosses and so on. There's police officers. There's government authorities. All of us have authority. And we're all to be submissive and submission. And let me just describe this for a minute. There is, I think, a subtle difference between just simply obeying and being submissive. Think about this for a second. You can obey without being submissive. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, you know, I might have my son say, you got to do this, and he does it just because he has to. But his heart, in his heart, he's not really submissive. Does that make sense? It's like I've heard the story of some preacher said this, and I think I've heard a couple preachers, so it must be these stories go around. You know, one preacher says it in the hearing of a preacher's conference, and then they all go home and they all tell it. But they said something, and I don't remember the story very well. So he said about a kid that was told to sit down, you know, and he wouldn't sit down. He had to tell him over and over, sit down, sit down. And he finally sat down. But he said, in my heart, I'm still standing. And that's the difference. We need to not only learn obedience, but we also have to learn submission. You see, submission means I submit my will and I obey from the heart. And that's the lesson that all of us have to learn as we obey God. Sometimes, you know, the Lord, we know that this is right, but in our heart, we don't really want to do it that way. We just do it because we know we have to. But when we have a submissive heart, we do it willingly. We do it joyfully. And so that's, you know, he says to obey your parents, but then he says honor your father and mother. You see, the honor is the attitude. Obedience is the action. The attitude is to honor them, to hold them in a state of honor. So, Let's move on. So we're to learn that. And what obedience brings, back at our text in Ephesians 6, he says, this is the first commandment with promise. There's a promise connected with it. Where is it? Verse... Oh, I'm in Galatians. No wonder it doesn't look right. Ephesians. Here we go. The end of verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Because when he gave the Ten Commandments, you know, he said, thou shalt these things. This was number 5. And then he gave a promise. He said, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, there's a promise. If you obey, the promise is it'll be well with you, and you live long on the earth. Your life on the earth will be... Would you rather have it well with you or not well? Well, we want to be well, right? So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody who died young was disobedient to their parents. But it's a general principle that if you follow a pattern of obedience and submission and starts with your parents, things are going to be easier for you. People that are rebellious, people that have, they just want to buck the system. They want to, it's always, the boss is always wrong and the teacher's wrong and my parents don't understand. That kind of attitude, it's going to be hard. Life will be hard for you. You make life difficult on yourself when you have that kind of an attitude. John Phillips, one of the commentators I have, he said this. He said, a child who grows up to love and honor and obey his mother and father lays the foundation for a happier, more stable, more successful life than does a child who is rude, disrespectful, self-willed, and rebellious. A stormy path lies ahead for a disobedient child. He will drift into bad company, resent all rule and authority, and in many cases end up on the wrong side of the law. Contemporary society has produced a bumper crop of young people who are determined to do their own things, and many of them are enmeshed in the drugs and sex scenes and are filled with restlessness and rage, end quote. And that's just true. Those who have the rebellious attitude, the attitude of never wanting to submit to authority, life will just be difficult for them. There's a blessing when we learn to obey. You know the authorities. It all comes down to this learning obedience is to learn to obey God. Turn for a second to Exodus, all the way back to Exodus chapter 16. It's interesting that God in the Old Testament, he refers to the nation of Israel as the children of Israel. And I know, literally, Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. And he had 12 sons, and they were the children of Israel. And out of them comes the tribe. So there's kind of that connection. But, he was their father. God was their father. And they were his children. And they acted like children. They were childish many times. In Exodus chapter 16... notice verse number 4. They're out in the wilderness now, and they were hungry. And the Bible says in verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Wow, that's pretty amazing. But he says, isn't this interesting what he says about that? He says, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. But notice this. That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now, here's the setting. So God has brought them out of Egypt where they had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And now he's bringing them out. And this is chapter 16, right? Or what chapter are we in? Yeah, 16. Okay. The Ten Commandments is given in chapter 20. So they don't have all the Ten Commandments yet. And the Lord's kind of given them a little bit of a test here. You need to learn obedience because you're going to get some laws and you're going to have to obey. And so he gives them manna and he said, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you manna. And he gives them some rules about the manna. Remember the rules? He tells them that they were only to gather enough for one day. And they were to eat it that day. Basically, he said to them, like my dad said to me, you have to clean your plate. You eat it all, okay? And then they also, on the sixth day, they were to gather double because there was not going to be any on the seventh day, the Sabbath. Well, the Lord said, I'll see if they learn this lesson of obedience. Look down at verse number 20. It says, notwithstanding, They hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. So the first rule was, you gather you get an ephod for every person, that's all you get, eat it all, it doesn't last till the next day. But some of them said, well, you know, we want to preserve some of this. You know, we're not sure if there's going to be enough tomorrow, so, you know, we want to keep some, we want to can it, freeze it, do whatever we can, we need to keep some of it, you know, I don't think they had canning and freezing, but, you know, but it backfired, it bred worms, it was stinky. Can you imagine, you open it up and it's like, oh, no, throw that away, that's nasty. But all of that was, you know, because God was showing them a lesson. I told you, trust me, there will be enough tomorrow. You don't need to save any. Then on the Sabbath day, look down at verse 26. He says, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Verse 27. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. What a surprise. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? And so all along, the Lord is teaching them the lesson of obedience. And he still wants to teach us this lesson. We need to take God at his word and obey him. Obedience. It's not a lesson only for children. It's a lesson for all of us. Let me move ahead. What does obedience demonstrate? Well, obedience demonstrates faith, right? It demonstrates faith. We sing the song with the children when they, I don't know if they're doing it in junior church. Do you sing obedience is the very best way, right? You've been learning that. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe, doing it exactly as the Lord commands and doing it happily. So it shows that we believe God when we obey. Did you know, we won't have you turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter, right? And the first, you just think about the first people that are mentioned. First one is Abel. Abel, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. You know, God told Abel, and he told Cain, the sacrifice that was required, Abel obeyed. Cain didn't. Cain decided to do it his way. And so Abel's offering was accepted, Cain's wasn't. Now the next guy in there is Enoch. All it says about Enoch is he walked with God and then he wasn't. God took him. But it tells us Noah, by faith, Noah built an ark. Now you think about Noah building an ark. God said there's going to be a flood. And he said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I want you to bring on two of every kind of animal and all of those animals. And, you know, and I mean, that was a big task. And as you know, the Bible says it hadn't, you know, there'd never been a flood. There'd never been rain. And Noah, but what did he do? Did he understand all this? No, he obeyed. Because why? He believed God. God, you said so, so okay. I'll obey. The next one in that list is Abraham. By faith, Abraham was called to leave the country he grew up in and go to another country. A country he had never seen. He didn't get to test drive it. He didn't get to, you know, look online and see what was there. He just had to obey God. But he did because he believed God. So obedience tells the Lord that I trust you. It shows faith. It shows submission. We talked about submission, but I won't have you turn to it. We'll speed up a little bit. But in let me give you the reference. It's in Luke 5. Remember the story? Luke 5, Jesus was near the water and the crowd was pushing in and so on. He finally got in a boat with Peter and he launched a little bit from the shore and he taught the people. And then he said to Peter, later, he said, cast your net for a catch of fishes. And Peter said, Lord, we've fished all night and we didn't catch anything. But he said this, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And so, again, Peter showed the Lord by his obedience that he believed, he trusted him. I don't know that Peter understood that, you know, he was going to catch a bunch of fish, but he was submissive. He just simply said, I'll submit to what you want me to do. So obedience shows faith. Obedience shows submission. Obedience shows love, that we love God. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. I say that to my, you say that to my teenage girls a lot. If you love me, keep my commandments. Because they always said, we love you, Daddy. Okay, well, keep my commandments then. And they did, you know. But the Lord says that to his children. If you love him, and we show our love by obeying him. So love, or obedience shows that we love the Lord. Obedience shows that we are submissive to God. Obedience shows that we trust God. Now, let's wrap it up with back in our text at verse 4. That was the children's command. This is the parents' precept. Verse 4, he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And I think he talks to dads here. Dads do have a responsibility to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oftentimes we tend to offload that to the moms, and moms are great at it, and they're very helpful, and we really appreciate it. But Dad, you're not out of the, you know, you're responsible too, to not only, you know, bring home a paycheck, but to also help in the nurturing and admonitioning, is that a word? I don't know. You know, to do those things. But fathers have a tendency to provoke their children. I think that's a fair statement. So he says to you, do not provoke them. What's that mean, to provoke them? It means to, you know, enrage them, to, you know, frustrate them. And you know, I have to say, there were times when I was guilty of that with my kids. I think Josh still gets a little provoked by me sometimes. We try not to, but if we're walking in the Spirit, we won't do that. We don't want to do that. And if we see that in your life, and if, you know, you recognize it, if you see your kid is, you know, just, oh, Dad, you know, they're just always, they feel frustrated, they feel, you know, that you're not being fair to them, then maybe you should think about, okay, I don't want to provoke them. I don't want to just enrage them. I don't want to, you know, build a wall between us. We need to be careful at that. How do we do that? I put down 10 things. I'll go through the list quickly, of ways you can enrage your children and provoke them. I put down, first of all, excessive discipline. You know, children need discipline, but sometimes we're excessive in that. Have you ever been around the parent that, sometimes around the child, I feel sorry, you know, you see this child and the parent just seems to be on their case all the time. They can't do anything right. They're just riding them and yelling at them and browbeating them. And the child's, you know, just nervous to go around their dad. That should never be the case. This should never be the case where, obviously, you should never be abusive, ever, period. But even sometimes we can be, you know, a little overbearing in discipline. And that's going to be provoking to your child. So don't be over. I can't spend a lot of time on these, but excessive discipline. Then inconsistent discipline. I remember one time, I was thinking about an illustration. I was thinking about Corrine's old, remember your cat, Sarah? That cat, yeah, one time I'd go up to this cat, and she was just as friendly as could be, and rub your leg, and you'd pet her, and she'd purr, and everything was great. The next time I saw her, I was like, oh, hi, same thing. Man, she'd, you know, she'd reach out and claw you and stuff. And so you just never knew with this cat what it was going to do, right? And so what do you want to do? I avoided that cat from then on. I'm like, okay, cat, you stay over there. I'm not, you know. I'll go see the dog. But you know, sometimes parents can be like that. You know, one time their kid does something and it's perfectly fine. Next time, boy, they're in trouble. That's confusing. And so you have to, you know, your discipline has to be consistent. If you're inconsistent all the time, they don't know what to expect. And so inconsistent discipline. Number three, I wrote down just simply unkindness. There's no need to be unkind to show unkindness. Number four, showing favoritism. You know, when we show favoritism, that's a point you see a lot in the Bible. You start with I don't know about Cain and Abel so much, but you start with Joseph. He had a coat of many colors. His other brothers felt left out. Abraham, you know, of course, had Isaac, and Ishmael was cast out. Now that we understand that some of that there's circumstances behind that. But, you know, Jacob loved Esau. Rebekah loved Isaac. Jacob and Esau. Their mom loved one, the dad loved the other. I'll sort them out in a minute. But you know, there was this favoritism. The favoritism. And it always brought, you know, it just brought a divided home. And it brought resentment. And it brought, sometimes, like with Joseph, they wanted to kill him. So that's a way we can exacerbate, we can provoke our children. Like I said, I shouldn't spend... Let's see, number five, overprotection. Have you ever seen that, where a parent just like, you know, they won't let their kid, oh, no, don't do, you know, and everybody else is playing, but, you know, this kid can't touch anything because he's going to get hurt or something. And you're just overprotective. There's a balance to find there. And then number six, I put down pressure to achieve. Some parents put so much pressure on them to, you know, to achieve, to make the best score, to be the captain of the team, to, you know, do all these things. And sometimes we put pressure unnecessary on a child. Number seven, neglect. And that's a big one, neglecting the children. You know, when I was a kid, you know, it was that kind of thing where they used to say children are to be seen and not heard, you know. And you know, a lot of times, I'm not saying my parents were neglectful, but the parents had a tendency to just, you know, say, you know, the sun's up, it's nice outside, get out of the house, see us in the night, you know. That's the way I was raised, like, go get some fresh air. That means hit the road, don't come back till it's dinner time, you know. I got stuff to do, I can't be bothered with you. And, you know, you can neglect your kids. And when, I'll just say this, I don't want to criticize my parents, I love them, but we were left on our own, we got in a lot of trouble. We did. We were out running the street. Yeah, there's a lot to get into out there. That's enough said on that. But don't neglect your kids. Spend time with them. Condescension. Deliberate humiliation. Parents should never humiliate their children. Sometimes they do that in public, and it's so, you know, it's so demeaning. Hypocrisy, number nine. We know about that. Number 10, constant criticism. And so these are just a list of things, ways that you might provoke your children, and you need to watch out. Don't let that happen. But nurture them. Nurture means to, you know, foster, cultivate in your child a godliness. Nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. The rebuke is the word admonition, the warning. So you nurture in them. You give them warnings. You train them. Bring them up. And bring them up has the idea you have to go with them. You know, you bring them to church. You don't send your kid to church. You bring them to church. It means you come too, right? You go through life with them. You teach them. You train them. And they watch you, and you have to set the right example. So you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'll close with this statement. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesian church. And I imagine, you know, they got the letter, and the church gathers together, and the elders said, "We got a letter from Paul, the apostle." And they're reading it, you know, and all the people are listening. What does Paul have to say? And they read this down, and he gets to this part, you know, it wasn't chapter 6 then, but they got down to this part, and then he said, "Children," can you imagine all the kids in the church that were, you know, they were half asleep, and then they're like, "Whoa, wait a minute, he's talking to me." I thought, you know, this was all for the adults. No, he's talking to me. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And I just thinking about that, you know, we sometimes think that children are too, you know, the Bible, they're too young, they don't understand those things, you know, children don't need that. No, they need it from a child. You know what? Listen, let me just say this and we'll be done. God's word is understandable to children. He's made it such. And he wants the children to be taught. That's why I love to have the kids at church. Because, listen, there's a lot of people out there that will take your 5-year-old, your 4-year-old, and teach them all kinds of ungodly things. And don't think they can't learn at the young. How many kids are learning young nowadays? Things that you didn't learn about till you were 12. They're learning them at 6. Yeah. And so they can learn. They do learn. And it's important that they learn what's right. And so, yeah, they're you know, kindergarten, preschoolers, they'll teach them. But we need to be involved in teaching them what's right.